Dit is SBS Dutch.
The quality of the works, really. It was the quality of the works and the selection. When it comes to the contemporary art, Aboriginal art side of the collections, there's incredible artists that are represented, really key artists in Australia. And I just hadn't realised that that they'd collected such an incredible array. There's really important works that certainly are on display in this exhibition, but the collection overall at the Verald Museum has been incredible to look at in the last 4 weeks that I've been here.
Right. Can you show me the things that really hit you, that you thought, wow, this is amazing?
There's a few, but the ones that really surprised me was one like this, which is an artwork by John Moundrell called Rainbow Serpent Egg. It's a subject matter which I didn't realise that John, as an artist, had created before, and it's just a small work compared to, you know, the epic works that he produces nowadays. But it's such a really beautiful, simple work that it really surprised me that they had this work, or that John had actually produced this work. You know, he's normally produces works once the rainbow serpent is created, when it's here and it's doing its thing. But to see them, you know, him doing the beginning with the egg is really quite beautiful. He's got, he's got a beautiful little story there that goes with it. But it's, about the mother serpent. And the other one that surprised me, I'll just highlight with you, which I hadn't quite realised, besides the contemporary artworks by Brenda Croft and Gordon Bennett and Gordon Hookey, is this work by one of our most incredibly important and well-known artists, Emily Kamenware, who came from the desert area. She had a 10-year career span and was very, very prolific with her works. But she's actually got a solo show at the Tate Modern next year in July. We held her first one at the National Gallery, the first showing of it at the National Gallery just this year, and so it'll open next year. But they've got a really beautiful Emily work from their collections, which I hadn't quite realised. Some of the women's works that they've got in the collections are really quite beautiful. So, it was just lovely to see that they not only collected unknowns or just regular sort of artists, but they collected some of the more well-known artists as well, which is great.
It's like having a Picasso,
if
you translate it into Western
Absolutely.
Art thinking,
yep.
to having a Picasso in the middle
mm-hmm.
of... It's amazing, isn't
it? It's beautiful. It's really beautiful. A number of the artists that are in the show, I've had the pleasure of knowing, either before they've passed or they're still alive, and, you know, we have great relations with them. So it's really... I felt so much pride coming into the exhibition and seeing that the Verald Museum had, you know, really represented Aboriginal Australia in such a beautiful way through contemporary art. And, you know, there's a few historical works there, but essentially it's through the contemporary works, and they're just incredibly beautiful representations.
And aren't you thinking, oh, I want to take that home?
Oh, always. I always do. It's like, well, that's a good size. I could, you know, fit that in my lounge room. But there are, you know, for me, being in the Netherlands, being in Europe, having these artists be showcased and have their names be known is really quite a beautiful, moment. Any opportunity that we get to elevate or showcase Aboriginal and or Torres Strait Islander artists from Australia is always wonderful. You know, that's what I love about Europe. Europe get it. Australia, we showcase our communities and artists very well, but in Europe, when you see them amongst all of the other incredible exhibitions at these institutions, it's really beautiful to see.
So the way they do this in Leiden, because if you look at the British Museum and there's some issues there,
mm-hmm.
obviously, with Aboriginal art and artefacts, are they doing it differently in Leiden here?
I think so. I think they've done it really quite sensitively and beautifully. They've got a number of themes that they've positioned the artworks in to give the visitors a sense of who we are as peoples and the sorts of ideas and beliefs that artists and communities have, that are, you know, the ancestral stories or whether they're contemporary stories. We've got a beautiful little print here that's really quite gorgeous by Gwynbi Ganamba. And it's just a story about an incident from his childhood, out fishing and the engine sort of...
cuts out?
Sticks, yeah. Yeah. Or, and the boat goes round and round and round in circles. And so it's just a beautiful little print. And when you see Goynbi's works today, like this is quite an early one, when you see his works today, they are epic. They're about as big as this wall. And they're all carved metal works. So seeing this little print of his and a personal story is really quite beautiful. You know, often artists will depict ancestral or cultural stories, but, you know, it's those personal and historical ones which are just as beautiful as well.
And have they done it right? Are the captions okay? Is the way that they've hung it okay?
Absolutely, yeah. They've really captured the story of not only the artwork but of the artist as much as you can in, you know, 200 words for a label. But I think the positioning of contemporary works with those, what I don't separate works to traditional and contemporary, because contemporary works can be informed by contemporary issues or cultural issues. There's no traditional and contemporary. It's all the same if you're looking at works today. And so, you know, the way that they've shown a diversity across the artworks, which really reinforces that diversity across Australia, that we're not one peoples, that the designs and the stories are very distinct and different. And I think they've done a really beautiful, sensitive hang with these works.
Right, because part of your fellowship was also to teach them how to do it right, right? There's a sort of curatorial learning in that.
Yeah, it was more about a sharing and exchange of ideas and information. So with me, I was particularly interested in their database, the collection database, the back end side of things, more so than, you know, as a curator, yes, I'm always interested in the exhibition and the front facing, exhibitions that are done for the public. But for me, it's just as important to get the information right at the back end in the database from the records. And what was incredibly special and quite emotional for me during this fellowship is when we went out to the stores and had a look at the collections, and it's beautiful to see that they're caring for the collections in such incredible ways. I, of course, being a Larrakia woman from Garamilla or Darwin in the Northern Territory, asked to see Larrakia works, and they brought out these beautiful club that was recorded as being from Port Darwin or Larrakia people, or one that's made like that Larrakia would have. But they also had this incredible bark or cypress pine waist belt that was painted and designed, and it was really beautiful. And it was from the late 1800s, 1896, I think it was. So really beautiful, powerful and special to see. And as we sort of, you know, moved away and looked on the shelves at other works, I pointed to another one. I said, is that another one? Because I'd requested just the Larrakia works to come out, so they'd bought them all out, but this work was on the shelf. And so we pulled it out, and it is exactly the same. It had the same sort of designs, everything, but it wasn't recorded in the database as being from Larrakia. It is now.
Right.
And it was quite a special moment to say that that is definitely a Larrakia work. And when you had the two side by side, you can definitely see that it was. But just through either over time, either the information was recorded or it just hadn't been translated from the old, you know, museum cards to the database, that information was not connected, but it is now. And so now we have, for anyone that wants to see Larrakia works online, if they're never going to get to the Netherlands and they just search online on the database, they can now actually find another Larrakia object. And for me, it's making those connections and revealing or making these works more visible, which is key to what I wanted to do here. But, you know, my time in the Netherlands or working with the Verrold Museum won't stop from today being my last day of the fellowship. I'd like to continue that on because the database is so well documented online. I'd like to continue that conversation and to, you know, advise and work with them as, you know, to, as I say, indigenise museum practices. I don't go from the decolonizing sort of position. I always look at and start from our perspective and our ways of thinking and being, and looking at how we can improve museum systems and ways of working with First Nations collections, particularly from Australia, and how we can improve that so that people back in Australia can engage with these works, even if they don't ever get here in person. But knowing that from the late 1800s, like, that's pretty special. These two beautifully preserved waistbands are here and are being looked after, and I'll definitely be back for sure. And what really struck me when I saw these works is, and I got quite emotional about it, is that am I the first Larrakia person to see these works since they left our country? And am I the last? I certainly hope not, but that's where letting people know about these works and saying, come on over, they're incredibly, incredibly generous and wonderful staff here.
Yeah, and you never know what else is there that has been wrongly labelled,
exactly,
or there's a problem with it. Or
exactly. And that's what I hope to improve, not just with my communities, but with any of the communities. If there's something that I can, that I see that, you know, it's like, oh, well, I know that's definitely from there based off the, I mean, I've been working in museums and galleries for, you know, over 35 plus years now. And I've got a bit of experience, and at least if not connections to the different communities, or, you know, knowledge based off what we have in our collection database, colleagues that are in other institutions saying, hey, have you got something like this in yours? And piecing those things together. So, you know, they've got about 2,900 Aboriginal collections here in the Verrild Museum collection. It doesn't seem like a lot. It seems like a lot, but it's really not in the bigger scheme of things. And so I hope to slowly, still in my day-to-day work back in Australia, chip away at things that if there's anything that can be updated, I'll send that through to them.
Yeah, and maybe also stuff that you can use in Canberra that is here now, and you can get on loan or back altogether, maybe.
That's right. And also let communities know in Australia that these wonderful collections are here, not only the contemporary works but the historical works as well, because the Verrild Museum has, you know, absorbed many of these other collections from across Europe when institutions have closed down. They've got these really incredible, interesting little pockets of works. But we hope that, you know, we've got another fellow that will come across in 2025 as well. Who knows what they'll want to look at? I know I was certainly interested in the collection management and the database side of things. They may be interested in the exhibition side also, but it'll be wonderful to see how they engage with this collection as well.
Do you know if there's any stolen art within the collection? Because there's lots of discussions about that at the moment, right?
Look, it's always difficult to know. I mean, particularly when there's no records or, you know, that detailed history of how works were acquired. You know, in 1896, you know, you do wonder how they acquired these historical these waistbands. We don't know for sure, but for me, it's important to get as much information as we can about the works, inform the communities that these works exist, and start that conversation. I know the Verrild Museum has been incredibly sensitive and supportive of repatriations. Reparations, which they are actually doing with other communities. They haven't looked at the Australian ones, of course, but, you know, who knows? I think museums in general across the world need to, you know, self-reflect on their collections and really identify that what is important. Is it more important that communities connect with these old works and to forge those relationships with communities? Because, you know, communities can make contemporary works of these, you know, if that information's been lost. Many communities have been reviving these cultural practices from these old collections. I remember a statement someone had said that, well, you know, if museums hadn't collected these works, you know, there'd be nothing for communities to look at today. And it's like, well, if colonisation didn't happen, we'd still be practising them. So, you know, it's a catch 22 that we have that, you know, I think museums need to rely on communities today to get the right information, to gather information, but also to engage with them, to say that these works exist. You know, let's forge a relationship, not just, lock them out and say, no, you can't take these or anything. You know, I think this day and age, these contemporary ways of working with collections, you know, Verrill Museum and the Aboriginal Art Museum Utrecht have shown that, you know, when you work and engage with communities and artists, you can get some incredible works today that tell those same stories. And we could talk about these histories.
Have you had contact with people at home yet to tell them what you've seen?
No, not yet. I think there's been so much that I've been absorbing of the Netherlands as a whole, because the Verrill Museum, of course, have many different branches in Amsterdam, Rotterdam, and here in Leiden. And it's been incredible to just try and absorb so much and try to get an understanding of what our relations are with Dutch people, and just the whole experience as a whole. Not yet, but I certainly will. I've taken a lot of photographs, and it's not just about collections and works that are here, but it's about the way things have been displayed, the way information has been captured, and the way they've been presented to the public as well. You know, it's, words matter. And if you get that right, you can really make a powerful statement. So, you know, looking at how we're represented in these dual languages, wouldn't it be fabulous, though, if it was three languages where you've got Goinby's cultural language being displayed as well, and as well as the Dutch and the English. So, you know, looking at ways that we can represent ourselves in a more truer space.
Wil je nog meer soortgelijke verhalen? Luister via Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify of waar je je podcasts dan ook vandaan haalt.